On the 25th of August 2018, my home city of Southampton stages its Pride Festival. It's a celebration of the LGBT plus community and its achievements. Up until the 60s, Southampton was known as the Gateway to the Empire, a port where large passenger ships as well as cruise ships would take you to far-flung corners of the globe. The rise of cheap air travel reduced the importance of passenger liners, but the cruise ships remain to this day. In most of the UK, we now take for granted same-sex marriage, civil partnerships, legal protection from discrimination, an equal age of consent, and much else besides. In 1993, I interviewed three gay men about their lives in Southampton. At the time, same-sex marriage, civil partnerships, and legal protection from discrimination didn't exist. Section 28 was still in force, and the age of consent for gay men only was 21. At the time, gay men had only been decriminalised in England and Wales for 26 years. As a curious young gay man at the time, I wanted to find out what their lives were like in the city. So let me take you back, with this poor copy of an archive, to the now demolished Mayflower Hotel to meet Colin, Lewis and their friend, as I asked them what their first recollection of gay life in the city was.
Well, it all used to be the Lord Roberts when I first started, which is now gone, so we're not going to have any comebacks on the pub. But I remember sitting outside in my car, actually being scared of going in, and when I finally plucked up courage to get in the pub, I was absolutely amazed at the number of people and different types there were in there, and how relaxed and friendly everybody was. That's where I first probably met you.
I think it was, and I think I had a very sort of similar reaction, really. But possibly I wasn't the only one at the time. We're going back now, what, 62? Mm-hmm. Yep, about 62. And from then on, of course, all the boats were in, and there was a whole different crowd. And there was quite a lot of people. Christmas times and that used to get absolutely packed, and parties, always lots of parties, lots of tremendous social life.
Yes.
In one another's flats and things like that. It's usually, there was no alcohol involved. It was usually coffee and boring things like that. Cups of tea.
There was no clubs in those days. So after the pub closed at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at weekends, you had to make your own entertainment. Everybody came in. It was like a different world.
What's your first recollection?
Well, my first recollection was that I used to go, not to the Lord Roberts, but I used to go to the hotel bars. And it was probably by meeting somebody in one of the hotel bars that I was introduced, first of all, to the Horse and Groom, which was a reputable place. And from there, it was a reputable place. I enjoyed myself. And from there, I was introduced to the Lord Roberts and one or two other bars in Southampton, but I found that I got my most enjoyable, a lot of pleasure by meeting old friends. Well, in those days they were new friends. Today we're still meeting, and it was just an entirely different environment. It was an environment in which you could let yourself go when things were perhaps you were unable to do so as openly as it is done today.
In the early 60s, it was still illegal. Did that make any difference to the way you all behaved?
No, because it had to be different when you were working. Let's say you put on a front. It was this... Today they call it coming out of the closet. In our day, it was a case of... we came out of the closet when we were with the people that we knew and we could relax with, where we could have that feeling of... You know what I am. I know what you are. Let's get on. Let's enjoy ourselves. And we did enjoy ourselves. It didn't have to be... Sorry, I'm probably saying the wrong thing here. It hadn't to be a sexual thing. It could be a friendship, a pure platonic friendship. If you met somebody that you liked, all well and good. Then you let yourself go. But instinctively, you knew it, you know. And it was just... A really nice atmosphere to be in.
I mean, that was the day when Southampton was a gateway to the Empire, wasn't it? Did that make any difference?
Oh, a tremendous amount of difference, yes. It was, well, the liners, there must have been about, God, 6 to 8 liners, big liners coming in and out literally all the time. Tremendous amount of Americans, and service people and things like that. And of course then the pubs were obviously very, very full, and also the liners used to stay overnight instead of what they do now is just a daily turnaround. So therefore you've got a tremendous amount of other boys about, all sorts of nationalities and everything.
So what's your earliest memory of the sort of cruise liners coming?
I suppose the whole fun and the whole freedom of it, and just being yourselves.
What do you remember?
Well, I can remember both of the Queens, the Mary and the Lizzie, coming in every week. And everybody will wait in the bar for all the crew to come off and come in, and because they always had plenty of money and stories to tell of New York and wherever they've been. Money was flowing like mad, wasn't it? Buying the drinks, and the women behind the bar, especially June, would
Flicker,
her nickname, yes.
Flicker.
Would welcome all the boys in. Every time she was asked for a drink, she could hit the gin bottle without looking round with her glass. Amazing atmosphere. And it was more friendly, because so few people actually had their own apartments or flats or lived with other gays. Then you made your enjoyment in the bar, and you were just lots of friends. It wasn't so much of a pick-up joint, was it?
No, not at all. No. And then at the end of the evening, whoever's house was free, flat was free, then you'd all organise a whole crowd, and you'd all go back.
In some respects, we were forerunners to the drag balls. I mean, they had the drag balls in London. We had drag balls in Southampton. I mean, we had parties. I mean, the whole atmosphere then was relaxed. The girls, all right, call us girls. We used to compete against one another. I mean, who was going to look the prettiest? I never won. But I mean, it was such a friendly atmosphere. There was no kind of bitching or anything like that.
I can tell you, dear listener, you should have won. What was it like when it was legalised in 1967? Can you remember? Was there a huge amount of celebration and parties, or did it pass quietly?
I think there was a party at the pub, but basically it didn't make any difference. Those of us knew exactly what we were up to and what we knew about, and it didn't make any difference whatsoever. It was just the younger ones who possibly helped to be freer, but in actual fact, I don't think so. I think it's very wrong to try and segregate people.
True for you?
Yes. It didn't actually make any great difference to us personally. I think there might have been a bit of hope that at last we didn't have to hide away and have our own secret pubs and clubs. But apart from that, I think we just carried on as before.
I mean, how does the scene compare now to when you first came on?
Well, I still keep going. I still keep going out and going to clubs and socialising. I suppose...
More promiscuous. You think so? I think it's more promiscuous now. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I think it is on the increase. And I think it's more and more on the increase because being an older person, being an ageing queen, if you want to, it makes no difference to me. I mean, I can still get it. Occasionally, but I see a lot more young people, far lot young people, which means it's good competition for me because I've got to try even harder. I mean, if I could do it when I was their age, I'm going to still try and do it now when I'm in my 60s, and let's hope I go on to my 80s. But as I said, it's definitely more promiscuous than it was when in our day.
What are your hopes for the future? I mean, you've been through the past and legalised. What do you hope for the future?
Well, I really don't believe in all the organisations of the gay rights outrage and all those sort of things, because basically you're just aggravating the situation and you're not integrating, you're just segregating everybody else.
Well, what about you, Colin?
Yes, I would agree with that. I don't think they're doing a great deal of good. All right, so perhaps the age of consent should be lower, but it's just too much controversy about it.
They go the wrong way about it, really. I think they aggravate people and get up other people's noses. Basically, all it is a sexual relationship between a sleeping partner or a partner you do within your own four walls. It's nothing to do with anybody else.
Any hope for the future?
Well, I hope so. I hope there's going to be a lot for me. But as I said, my views are probably different. Once again, you more or less, in our interviewers on the Thatchers, we're talking about the old Southampton. One thing I would like to say is that the people that you are interviewing now are part of the old scene, which, as my friend said, was in probably 1962, probably even longer ago than that. And yet we can still be together. And we don't have to have a sexual relationship. We've had a friendship. We've understood one another. We've shared one another's ups, their downs, their tears, God knows what else. I mean, it hasn't all been a happy life. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't know about the others, it's been a fun life. And I wouldn't change it.
One for you?
Oh, certainly, yes. I suppose most people, when they get older, tend to think that the old times were better. But in the gay life in Southampton, I think it was definitely better in the 60s and 70s. It was much more friendly. The bars, because there weren't any clubs, the bars people went to meet and talk. So you weren't drowned out by loud music and people just in for cruising around. People met there, all sorts of people. Everything, people, transvestites and drag and everything else, and we just got on.
What about you?
Yes, going way, way back, I used to work at the Juniper Berry, which used to be the gateway to the world. Everybody knew all over the world about the Juniper Berry. And it was a dockies pub, sailors, stevedores, anything like that. And it was the first sort of, like a karaoke bar or entertainment bar in a way. I used to work behind the bar. There used to be drag artists from all over the country, or get up and get on stage and do a turn. There used to be a guy on the organ and a compere, and it was just an incredible atmosphere. You just throw your hat in to make sure that things were safe when you got in there, but it was just a brilliant place. And therefore, again, they overdeveloped round the area, and of course it got closed down, otherwise it would still be going today and people would still be loving it.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
The sound recordist for that was Bob Tate, and the digital transfer was done by Henry Walmsley.